Hi, I'm Billy Davison.
And I'm Brian Sturtz.
And thank you for joining us on our podcast. We've got some interesting things we're going to discuss today.
Yeah, it looks like we're going to be talking about the story of Noah.
Yeah, I find it very interesting. I've been doing some reading online and come up with some articles about discovering Noah's Ark. And when you read the article about discovering Noah's Ark, you find out that it's been there the whole time and everybody's known where it's at, but us, evidently.
Yeah, well, we'll delve into that. In the story of Noah's Ark, what you would see is ancients would have looked at that story and wondered to themselves, just what kind of a God is this? Because there is no...
Let everyone die or...
Well, no. This is a God who actually gives a care. Because all the other gods that we know, we can run around and say all sorts of crazy stuff. And we're trying to get their attention. Or maybe we offer them some sort of sacrifice. Or maybe we do some sort of worship toward them. But we really don't know if they're listening. Nor do we know if they care. And the gods really seem to just manipulate us to do whatever they want us to do. But this God comes down to pay attention to us. And who is this guy? You know, because the gods that we know don't seem to give a hoot about human life. But this God seems to be extremely interested and very aware of what's going on with human beings. And so that would be a shift. That would be a change. Like why, you know, ancients would have read that and thought, well, this is kind of an odd God because all the other gods that we know of could care less about us, you know? And so that would be a different sort of take. Another thing that's interesting about the story is that at the beginning of the story, humans are messed up. At the end of the story, humans are messed up. Which means the person that changes is God. That's the person that changes. Thus, in the Noah story, the thing that would be interesting is who changes. So in the story, it would be God changes. God makes a decision as to what he's going to do differently. Yeah, who changes? So that would be the big thing. Next, the other thing is the science sort of aspect of it. I guess you could call it that, you know, the science part of it, you know, was the flood, the debate is, you know, was the flood worldwide? Was the whole earth encompassed in it? Some of the more, I guess, like older, shouldn't call it older scholars, but some of the older theories that were out there are perhaps there was this pre-earth or early earth or whatever it was, like ice ring that was around the earth. Because a lot of people will, when they read Genesis, for those that wish to take it in a very scientific sort of way, look at it and say, okay, there's no mention of rain in the Bible until you get to the story of Noah. So some have suggested, well, what if there was this ice ring that was sort of in orbit around the earth and that's when it began to melt, thus creating the rain? Because up until then,
like most of the planet was encased in ice. And yeah. Just a small part that fell
and then began to fall. And as it fell to earth, it heated up, turned into rain. Others have pointed out it in the story of Noah. That it says, if I remember correctly, that the water sprang forth from the ground.
Yeah, see, I can't remember. I think it's what it says in the Bible, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it's what it says in the Bible. Is it? Should get one of those. And we're in this room surrounded by them. So some have pointed out that perhaps what's going on is you have at this time one large landmass, and underneath that one large landmass is sort of this layer of water that, due to certain forces, is beginning to create pressure and cut through the landmass. Right. And as it cuts through the landmass, as it shoots up, then it begins to divide that landmass up, thus giving you the map that we see today, where you have
it kind of broke everything
up and traveled it to where it is now. Eventually, that water underneath the landmass sort of empties itself out, and it, you know, sort of sticks,
settles and stops.
Yeah, and that's another some have suggested, well, maybe that's what happened. Maybe that was the shift. Others suggest that no, what happened was it was a very local flood that maybe out of the Black Sea, perhaps there was some sort of an overflow that sort of sent this huge flood into that area, but it wasn't worldwide. It wasn't, you know, all over the place. It was sort of more of a localized event that happened. It wasn't, you know, it didn't start over here.
Well, if it was localized, you know, Noah had an ark.
Yeah, he had an ark.
He just sail over there and park it and go, well, you know.
Yeah, oh, well,
come back over here next year when it dries out a bit.
yeah. And there's sort of a lot within the science area, there's a lot that's sort of tied to it just because there's a lot of folks that want to look at the Bible and have it sort of give proof to certain scientific stuff. And there's others that really don't see that connection, or at least the connection that maybe others want to see. So it's really sort of a huge kind of a point of contention for a lot of people. And then you just have the sheer history of it. So, okay, was Noah a real guy? Was there a dude named Noah that really lived? Or are we getting sort of this, for lack of a better word, maybe a mythological creature, this made-up guy called Noah? Is it just a story to sort of make a point, but there really wasn't a guy named Noah? And so that's sort of another one
like
of those.
Maybe the whole event didn't.
Maybe the whole thing didn't
actually occur.
Maybe the whole thing didn't occur. It's sort of making stuff up, kind of. So there's a lot of that.
You know, kind of like we do today. Maybe the story was really exaggerated.
Yeah. Well, what a lot of people, now the history, if you're just going off the history part of it, a lot of people would compare, maybe you mentioned, would compare the story of Noah to what's called the Epic of Gilgamesh. And the Epic of Gilgamesh, in that story, I believe it's more of a Babylonian, if I remember that right, story. And when you read the account of Gilgamesh, and you read the story of Noah as you find it in the Bible, then there's a lot of, hey, wait a minute, there's a lot of sort of connections between the two. And so some have suggested, okay, maybe there was this very large, affected a wide range, but still localized flood that everybody sort of had a story to. But yet here's this Noah story that attaches more of a theological meaning to what's going on, as opposed to this story that just happens to be over here. Others say, well, no, obviously Gilgamesh is a story that the Jewish people look at and they steal that story and they write their own and create this story called Noah, which never really happened. And so that's another sort of point of contention as well. Yeah. And but now, if you were sitting down and watch like the History Channel, those dudes are going to tell you that the story Noah is pretty well made up. I don't know if I go for it was made up. I don't know, but I don't know if they'll. And there might have been other stories out there that are going on, but I don't see these guys stealing that story if they would have stole a story. You know, I think well, you can pretty much go, this guy's real dude.
Something you have to think about too, though, is if the Noah's Ark story is true.
Yeah.
It's not a continental story. I mean, it's not the Jewish story.
No.
It's not
per se, no.
The Asian story or anything like that. It's something that happens. So all these cultures, you know, because people started from there and drifted off, made different, you know, countries. And so that story could have arisen in different ways.
Could have arisen a different race. Sure could.
You know what I mean? So if you got seven people in a room experiencing the same thing and they travel off and go to different states and 2 years later start telling the story, you know, if you wrote it all down and got in a room and compared their stories, it wouldn't be a story,
sure.
You know?
Yeah. And then you still have other pieces and parts to this. For example, there have been some that have actually traveled to Mount Ararat, gone up on the mountain, found pieces of wood that date, you know, back as ancient, you know, wood. And then you can look at the satellite photo of, look at this ginormous thing here. So there's really been a lot of thing. Yeah, so there's just a lot of sort of, you know, a lot of contention, I guess, around the story. You know, and then you had this new movie coming out. Was it, I think, is it, was it Russell Crowe?
Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe, Mr. Big Time movie actor who's hanging out in there.
Yes, the Hollywood.
The Hollywood man. So he's got that going on. And so, so there's this, so there's a lot of contention with that. You know, some people just aren't, you know, down with Russell Crowe as the Mr. Noah man. Oh, here's a little, some clips of it there.
We've got the movie trailer for the new Noah's Ark movie starring Russell Crowe and Emma Watson. And we're going to play that, and you'll be able to hear it. Here we go. You were able to hear all of that.
That's an interesting movie trailer. And it's interesting, in the trailer they show water coming from, like, or out of the earth or out of the ground into the air, because that's one of the things that's recorded in the Bible. And so in there, that's they do that, which is interesting that they
did. You notice the fiery rocks and brimstone being fired from the heavens? And
yeah, there was some of that going on. And there's this, I don't know who this character is. It looks like a warlord, or
right.
Mad. He's mad at Noah for some reason. Like, I don't know, for whatever it is.
Yeah, you got the evil
army guy
stop him, you know,
or something. Yeah. So I don't know. It could be an interesting movie. Huh.
It could be good. And I think the important part of that is you know, they're acknowledging Noah.
Yeah, at least they are acknowledging Noah and portraying the story as, you know, some sort of, you know, history that happened and that kind of thing. So it can be really interesting to see, you know, what they end up doing with it. And I'm sure there'll be I don't know what the reaction is now, but I'm sure there'll be a reaction down the road as to, some will say it's, you know, you're off track, and others will say, no, you're on track, and, you know, whatever. So we'll see what comes of it.
Yeah, there is a little, you know, some controversy about it. Some churches are, you know, going, no, you know, that's not right. Don't support it. Don't go see it.
Yeah.
You know, other churches are on the bandwagon going, yeah, this is great.
The issue probably for a lot of people is going to boil down to those that view the Bible, especially or specifically the book of Genesis, and specifically the first few chapters of Genesis. Does that portray a particular sort of science that you can hang everything on? And for others, they might not see that there. So to kind of give you an example of that, or that difference, it would be, if you view Genesis chapter 1 as scientific fact, like we're going to use the book of Genesis because the book of Genesis records step-by-step scientific information. So you have day one, you got day two, you got day three, day four, day five, day six, day seven. And these happened in this order. They happened in this way. All of this is recorded so that we, the readers of the book of Genesis, have a blow-by-blow account of how the earth was formed. There are those that do that. And then they'll use that along with other things. And they'll say, okay, well, the earth is, you know, what, about 6,000 years old or so. Others might look at that and suggest that maybe there's another way to sort of look at this, because if you read the book of Genesis in that manner as a historical fact or as a scientific fact, then what you miss out on is the God that the book of Genesis is talking about. For example, here's a God that shares power. This God says to the moon, I'm going to make you. Now you go be the moon, and I give you the power to do that. And sun, I make you, and I give you the power to be the sun. And humans, I create you, and I give you the power to participate in creation by making more humans. I give you the power to go forward and create cities and use the brains that I gave you to go and, you know, build ships and like Noah did, and, you know, make a round wheel and all that kind of, you know, go forward and figure that stuff out. So if you look at the book of Genesis as a scientific sort of a thing, I think you miss out on what the book might have to say about God and those kind of things.
Well, speaking of the scientific portion of Noah, you know, recently, I think I can't remember what year it was. 80s or something.
This is the 80s.
They did do some scientific, you know, they found what they're claiming is Noah's Ark.
Yeah, which is really interesting. It's been there for quite a while, it looks.
Yeah, and apparently throughout generations, everyone's known where it was at. It was never lost.
So. Yeah, it's been up there for a while, and there have been, it looks like there's been some trips up there, found some wood and tested it out.
Yeah, they did some core drilling. Cored into it, and they found a lot of interesting thing in there. They found, you know, some cat hairs and, you know, animal dung and different types of woods and even evidence of laminated wood, which, you know, plywood wasn't invented for centuries.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, so Noah was really expanding the technology at the time. The bolts and stuff, you know, the rivets and stuff were made out of, you know, some steel that just didn't exist
at the time.
So he was, you know, smelting and adding minerals and stuff in there to prevent, you know, these things from corroding while they were at sea. Uh-huh. So it's pretty interesting. But yeah, you don't hear a lot of talk about all that.
No, you don't hear a lot of that. I don't know why. I don't know why you don't hear a lot of talk about, you know, this discovery up on top of Mount Ararat and the wood that's been found and the metal that's been found. And yeah, I don't know. I don't know why that is. Even among a lot of Christians, you don't really hear, you know, a lot of talk of that. So I don't know.
I mean, myself, I think it's very interesting. I think it's one of those items that maybe we should be talking about it more. Maybe we should publicize it more and make a bigger event out of it. Not so much to, you know, make a big thing out of, you know, Noah being somebody special that started, you know, humanity.
Yeah.
When, you know, possibly he is.
Yeah.
But the fact that, you know, there's so many people calling the Bible fiction.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, like Costco puts the Bible out and then labels them fiction.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, okay, well, we have this story in Genesis about Noah.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Ark
hanging out,
laying at the base of Mount Ararat.
Yeah.
Doesn't that kind of prove the Bible?
Makes some
bit. I mean, it's the start of physical proof that the Bible is a true story.
Something's going on there.
Yeah.
This is more than just a made up.
We found the boat. We've made multiple expeditions out there.
Yeah.
We've taken some scientists. You know, scientists are, you know, they're enlightened people that often like to overlook Christ.
Sure.
However, yeah. You know, no offense to, you know, scientific people, however, but so we got scientists going out there core drilling into this material stuff. It's not really wood anymore because it's
more like dirt.
It's rotted.
And yeah.
So they drill in, they find out, they go, yeah, you know, this is wood and the age of this would, it would match up.
Fit with this.
Yeah. You know, so we kind of have proof that that existed.
Something's going on.
Yeah. Something happened. There's an ark. Man,
yeah,
floor,
they
got cat hair, animal, we found all kinds of stuff in here, man.
And it was like all kinds of poop.
You know, we got this big boat full of animals.
Yeah.
Been here for thousands of years. You know, maybe there's a little something to this.
Maybe there's something going on here. Yeah. And there's been a lot of that over the years where there have been plenty of archaeological discoveries that, you know, back up the Bible, you might say, like for years and years and years and years and years and years and years, nobody seemed to be able to find the city of Jericho until I believe it was like in the, maybe like it was in the 40s, I think it was. When somebody was out there digging around, like, hey, what's this place? And then some more digging around, they figured out, hey, wait a minute, this is Jericho. Whoa, Jericho. You know, and so there's, you know, so there's that sort of stuff that's happened multiple times where, you know, you, if they dig down, you can find, wait a minute, yeah, that did really happen, and this is what was going on. You know, the Bible is based, there's a lot of history to what the Bible reports, but often the Bible, at the same time, isn't interested oftentimes in the same sort of history that we are. You know, reporters, you know, going downtown and they're going to put the, you know, the date and the time and, you know, you're supposed to fact check your information and whatever. And the, it sort of seems when you read the Bible from beginning to end, it seems like the authors, while they are reporting history, and often there's a lot of that that will tie to, you know, archaeological digs or, you know, the Bible says this and then we look it up and, oh, here in the city of Babylon, we have this account. Ah, it's the same thing or in the same time. And there's a lot of connections those ways. But at the same time, the authors don't seem to be reporters like we might like them to be. Because sometimes, even in the Old Testament, they'll be telling you a story and then they're sort of like this back at the ranch sort of.
Yeah.
When I wait a minute, what you need to know is what's going on behind the scenes is God is doing and working in this through this nation to do this, to do that. But that's not what you see on the surface. You know, what you see is the Babylonians are fixing to come down here and whoop up on us. You know, that's what history records. But the prophets will say, no, that's God working through the nations. You know, something that you might not see, so to speak, or the Babylonians aren't going to write it down like, you know, King Nebuchadnezzar is sitting around and God told him to go whip up on the Israelites, you know, that kind of a thing. You know, there's no, we might not have that sort of history, but that's what the Bible reports,
right.
You know, kind of a thing. And so, yeah, you kind of got that, you kind of got a lot of that going on. Yeah, anyways, what'd be really kind of cool is if maybe somebody would go like even like now, if somebody could get over there and do some more video archaeological stuff and get it out there for the media, then that probably would draw some more attention to it.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't see any reason why we couldn't. I mean, it's in Turkey, you know.
Pretty friendly place, at least.
Yeah,
to, yeah.
I mean, we're not like banned from Turkey or anything. Like, you know,
not yet. Not
their
yet.
Airspace, maybe. But,
yeah.
But, you know, obviously they've, you know, let people come in from time to time, and I don't see why you couldn't go back and do it again, you know. I was reading a deal in this article here where they went in there with that ground penetrating radar.
Oh, uh-huh.
And they went over the top of it and they actually laid it out and created like a schematic of it. And it shows, you know, that, you know, this is a ship. Here's the bow. Here's, you know.
Here's the front. Here's
and,
the back.
You know, here's these big beams, cross beams and timbers and stuff that are in there for supports and stuff like this. And this would be a big ship. And if you read the Bible, where the part in Genesis where it describes the size of the boat, this just happens to fit.
This is the one, man.
300 cubits by 50 cubits.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You know, there was a guy, now I think, where is it? Yeah. In the Netherlands, who built a sit around for years, and he built a recreation of it. Mm. And it's sitting out there in the wherever it is, lake, pond, whatever. It's really quite, I mean, he spent like, I forgot how much time building that thing. But you can go out there and walk through it. And I remember there was one, there was another gentleman, I believe, that had used, he was really into trains.
Yeah.
And what he decided to do was to compare, like, how much stuff can you get in a train car and how many train cars could have fit into the arc. And so using the dimensions that were given and then trying to line that up with, like, how many train cars could you shove in that thing, you could get a whole bunch of stuff in the arc.
Well, yeah, and I was also I've heard this. I don't have any of that in front of me, but someone else did one of these studies that when you think about it, the size of the animals worldwide, there's only so many animals that are really all that big.
Mm, true, yeah.
But the predominance of these animals are very small, and the average size of all the animals that would have been on the ark, but the average size of the animal that would have been on the ark is the size of a mouse.
Oh, that's small.
So if the mouse is being the median size, you would fit a lot,
you could get a lot of
animals on the ark. So when you look at it that way, the ark's pretty good size, multi-level.
Yeah, so you got tiers for the different places to be.
You know, yeah. You only got two elephants.
Yeah.
Kind of goes two, down from
you only
there.
Got two, you know? Yeah, it kind of goes down from there. Yeah, two giraffes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like you've got 500 giraffes and 500 elephants and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, this thought that people think, you know, oh, you know, two of everything wouldn't fit on there because, you know, well, you know, I mean, had a couple ostriches and a couple hippos, a couple elephants, a couple of giraffes, a couple of horses.
Yeah.
You know, that's your big, big stuff right there. Then so everything else, you know, is dog size, cats, lions.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just get smaller from there. Snakes, lizards,
yeah.
Toads, frogs, you know.
Toads, frogs.
Take up hardly any room at all.
And the interesting thing, too, would be, you know, from what we read in the Bible is it's God that directs these animals to come. You know, that somehow he's sort of the master, I don't know, shepherd, you know, that somehow tells these guys, like, look, come on. You know, it's time to show up. And so it gets them on the move.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, you look back, you know, these tsunamis that happened in Thailand and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things they talk about is everybody thought it was strange that 3 days before it happened, all the animals were leaving the area.
Oh, like they knew what was up. Like
they knew what was up. They knew it was coming.
They knew something was coming.
You know, so there was something in them going, okay, guys,
it's time to go
to higher ground. And these animals just start migrating, you know, away from the shoreline and into higher ground.
Hmm. And that would be interesting.
So it's not hard to think that, you know, even back then,
these animals
would have been, you know, around grazing and going, hey,
something's going on.
I need to go over here.
I need to find this boat. Yeah. I need to find the cruise ship.
So it's quite possible. And, you know, I read somewhere too that, you know, these animals, you know, once they got on the boat that, you know, they could have been, you know, they weren't just in their normal state and running around.
So they'd probably be like
kind of
hibernating because it would have been dark, cold, damp.
Yeah.
So the bears
sleepy and
wouldn't have been running around. They could have been,
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think it entirely makes it all plausible.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, most definitely.
I mean, we got the evidence. We got the background story.
We have the background story.
We got a movie about it now.
It must be true if it's in the movies.
I mean, if Hollywood is backing it up, I mean, it's got to be true.
It's got to be true, man. It's got to be true. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That makes you think, too, is, you know, Noah's kind of a Christian story.
There was a lot of, I think it's, I'm going to get this wrong, and I believe it's like 1st or 2nd Peter that mentions the story of Noah. And it's the story of Noah where they use it, the author there uses it as like the story of baptism, because Noah had water under him, he had water on the sides, and above him was water because it was raining.
Right.
And so they use it as a picture of baptism, like Noah was baptized, like he went through the water, so to speak, and they use it in this way. So yeah, he's even used by some of the New Testament authors and writers. And within Christianity, he sort of becomes the symbol of, some would suggest, like, it says that God is the one that closes the door on the ark.
Right. That
this door would have been so heavy, you know, how could they have closed the door? Well, it says that the God is the one that closes the door. And some, there's a few early church fathers around about like the 400s or so. And their suggestion is, well, it was Jesus that showed up. It was Jesus in the spirit that closed the door on the ark. There's some that have suggested that.
Yeah, because they really didn't have the hydraulic rams.
Wouldn't have had a hydraulic ramp back then. Wouldn't have had one of those going on. Yeah, but it's all entirely, this is not, and especially what we know of like ancient builders, like you look back like at the pyramids and you think, you know, you don't have modern day construction techniques. You don't have, you know, GPS. You don't have a protractor and a compass. Right. And, you know, things that we might, you don't have like blueprints the way that we would make them, you know, standardized measurement systems, blah, 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 blah. But yet they are able to construct this very elaborate pyramid very accurately that has stood for thousands of years. So it's not entirely implausible that an ancient guy like Noah could have constructed something that is that held together and floated around.
Yeah, because that's one of the things these articles talk about is, you know, we kind of categorize history with technological developments, you know, the Iron Age, the Bronze Age, and so on and so forth. The Ark, being well before any of that, has these things in it. So Noah was getting some advanced information somewhere.
Yeah, so now... the thing that would be interesting, though, is when you look at the Bible, God doesn't seem to provide. Now, of course, we don't know everything that he told Noah, obviously. But in other places, God doesn't seem to provide scientific information beyond what those people knew at the time. Like, you know.
Well, I mean, he's probably not saying, now, Noah, you need to take these rivets and galvanize them. And, you know.
Yeah.
But. You know, would he have not saying, take molten steel, add such and such minerals, form these bolts from...
Coulda. Yeah.
You know.
Coulda.
You know, take these layers of wood and get this and sour gum mesh from the
tree
or whatever it is, gopher tree, and mix it up and make a glue, you know.
Yeah. 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 I mean, time and time again, throughout scripture, you know, we're told, you know, God is the one that does the impossible. So, you know, the moment we might want to say, well, that just, sure could have been, you know, we don't know.
Sure could have been. Or again, you know, like the animals being guided to the ark. God could have just blessed Noah with
telepathy.
The ability to just do these things. Well, I don't know why I'm doing it. Look how well that worked.
Well, yeah. You know? I did not know I could make metal.
Yeah. You know,
I have made fire.
You know, gosh, that had to be irritating to Noah's wife.
Yeah, darn you. Yeah.
Yeah. I got this, honey. Just trust me.
Honest to goodness.
Just go fetch the stuff I asked for.
This
will work.
I got it. I got this. Yeah, and I'm interested in, and there's a lot of, there's a lot of different takes on all this. You know.
Well, let's go back. Let's go back a little bit because I said something earlier about it. You know, Noah. The story of Noah seems to be predominantly a Christian story.
Mm, okay,
but this happened long before Christ came.
Yeah,
long before Exodus
and all that stuff.
All this stuff. So, how do we think it becomes a Christian story? And not a Muslim story, not a Jewish story. Or is this story shared?
Like a universal story.
Yeah, just like a universal. You know, like you say, you know, you're reading Gilgamesh.
You get the story.
Has the same stuff that's in Genesis, kind of, you know, the connections.
Hmm.
I've never read the Quran or anything like that, so I don't know if there's a story in there about, you know, humanity being
wiped out
and a man on an ark
floating around. You know, this seems to be part of how Noah sort of fits into the whole Jewish Christian thing is this one of the theme, another sort of theme kind of woven into the story of Noah is here is a God that keeps his promises. And so Genesis 7, God shows up and he is extremely just brokenhearted over what he sees humans doing. You know, I've given you this freedom to make choices and you have abused that freedom to hurt and kill and just do awful things. So he's so mad. I'm just done with you. I'm, it's sort of like the Bill Cosby joke of, you know, I'm just gonna take you out and make another one just like you. You know, I'm just done with you. And so there's so many things to be what God's doing. You know, I'm just so mad at you. I'm gonna be done with, you know, I'm taking you guys out and make another one just like
you. Brought you into this world. I can take you.
Yeah, that's right. I brought you this world. I'll take you out. And so that's sort of things he always says. But then he seems to change his mind and says, no, that's not what I'm going to do. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to allow this to continue, but I'm not going to support this wickedness that's going on.
Right.
I'm not going to put up with that, but I am going to keep my promise that I made to Abraham, that through Abraham, he will be a blessing to many. And so I'm going to keep this alive. I'm going to keep this going because of the covenant promise that I made to Abraham. I'm not going to wipe out the human race. I'm not going to stop all this. You know, I will keep it going. And that's what he does. And I think the word that actually there is repent, which says when God changes mind, I think the Hebrew word is there is used as the word that we would use for repent. So God changed his mind. God decided, I'm not going to wipe you out. Instead, I'm going to keep my promise. And again, ancients that would have read that story would have said, or could have said to themselves, just what kind of a God is this? What kind of a God treats humans like this? Just because all the other gods that we know, they would have killed us all off and who cares?
Well, and that's one of the discrepancies or one of the arguments about, you know, this movie that's coming out is one of the things they say is, you know, what kind of God is that? Or they actually, not so much to God, it's reflected back to Noah. What kind of man is this to let all of these people die when Noah really didn't have a say in it?
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't his choice.
Yeah. And it's always one of those big issues to deal with, the violence that's in the Bible, because there's a lot of violence. There is a lot of, you know, swords flying around and there's battles and
there's a lot of violence in Christianity.
Yes, there is. Yeah. Yeah. And some would suggest, though, and I think this is something to kind of keep in mind, that when you look in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, when you see God do something violent towards somebody else. So, for example, God is going to bring the nation of Babylon down to attack the people of Israel. And throughout, through the prophets and things, it's made pretty clear that the reason why God is going to allow for, in fact, is going to work through this godless pagan nation of Babylon to come down and to destroy and kill and whatever, is because God views the violence that's going on in Israel as something that needs to be stopped. And I will work through this nation to bring that down. And some would suggest that when you look through the Bible, when you look at maybe nations, or for this example here in the story of Noah, you have humans that are just the level of violence is reaching to a point that God is going to counteract that violence. That you humans are getting out of control, and I'm going to do what I can do to combat, maybe punish, bring and rein in your violence. And so some would say that thus the reason why God, when you say, well, he's such a violent God, well, maybe it's the other side of the coin. Maybe it's not he's so violent. Maybe it's humans are so violent and he's the one trying to counteract that violence, or at least rein it in.
It wasn't just the violence alone, though. It was the immoral.
Yes, it was everything. It was all of that.
Just the whole group of things. And now, do you think humanity is getting to that point again?
We all need to go build a boat in the backyard.
I know. We look around the world now and we see everything's going on. We're just like, oh my gosh. Now, think how bad it had to be for God to go,
wait a minute.
Okay, guys, I've got to step in here. Yeah. I'm done.
Well, obviously, he does say at the end of, you know, the story of Noah, he does say, I'm never going to do this again.
Right.
You know, I'm never going to bring this about again. But we do get glimpses, like Revelation 19 would be a passage where it seems like when Jesus returns for those that have chosen the way of violence, for those that have ignored God, then it does seem like that should not be a happy day for you.
Right.
Like that could be a very scary scenario for you to be in.
So I'm not going to destroy you again. Right at the very end.
Yeah. You know, so there is this, we would call it a day of judgment. You know, when God brings the world back to rights, when God brings everything, you know, those that have committed injustice and got away with it, they'll have their day.
Right. Or I think we've got this group of not full believers, but kind of
not so sure.
That day is not going to be good for them.
That will not be a good day.
Sounds like maybe they might have the opportunity to.
Yeah.
Get right, but yeah. It's not going to be easy getting right.
Well, when you look through Scripture in the Old Testament and the New Testament, the phrase of the day of the Lord or yes. the return of the Son of Man, when you look at sort of what's attached to those things, that's not a good day. That was sort of like, whoa, you know, this is a bad day. This is not a good day.
Yeah, I don't care how you read the book of Revelations. You can't paint it pretty.
No, it's a different, yeah.
You know, the end part of it, of course you can. But.
You know, and just kind of, this is like a huge generalization, but you could almost compare the two stories, the book of Revelation and the story of Noah. Noah goes through this very tumultuous, scary event, but comes out on the other side. The book of Revelation, at least through early Christianity, was told in the sense of Christians, you are going through a bad thing right now. However, hold on, because in the end, heaven comes down to earth. And so it's sort of like this hopeful, like everything looks like it's falling apart. Things are really, really bad, but hang on, because in the end, God will prevail. Sort of like in the story of Noah, things are bad. Things are really bad.
It's going to get worse.
It's going to get worse. But in the end, God's going to come back and he'll set everything to right and he's going to make it okay. You know, this is a God that does the impossible. So you think everything's going to sink and fall apart, but really it's not. It's not falling apart. You know, God time and time again will tell you, you know, I got you. It's going to be okay. You know, I have not left you. It's going to be all right. And that sort of seems to be this thing that the theme throughout the book of Noah and even with Revelation would be that sort of theme is, here's a God that keeps his promises. Here's a God that won't leave. Here's a God that is heavily invested and well aware of what's going on in the lives of humans. What's going on with Noah? You know, this is not a God who just decides on a whim, I'm just going to do this. You know, he seems invested and interested in what's going on. You know, I want things to kind of happen in this way and they're not happening that way. What do I got to do to, you know, make things happen? You know, or this needs to change, or that's really bad and that needs to be better. Or, you know, he seems to be, you know, working, doing things. He's not somewhere in a laboratory with, you know, humans as his little, you know, lab rats,
right,
or something.
Seems to be more of a heavenly father.
He seems to give a care.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing. So it'll be interesting to see when this movie comes out. I'd check it out.
I think it's worth a look. I mean,
yeah, I'd check it out to see what's going on.
We just seen the trailer. We don't know what's in the whole movie.
Yeah. We'll check it out.
We may go see the movie and be, oh no. Gotta go.
Oh no, that is not happening. Well, thanks, man. That's a good story about Noah's Ark. It's really cool.
Awesome.
Thanks for bringing that up.
I enjoyed talking about it.
Yeah, man. Me too. Go Noah.
Go Noah.
Go Noah. Noah, go. Go buy some plywood. Get busy. Go buy some gopher wood, wherever it is you get that from.
You know, order. See, that's something I've read that in several places too. That is that a misspelling? Gopher wood?
You know,
should it be gopher wood?
I saw that where you said where there was somewhere suggesting that there was these Hebrew words.
Yeah, the Hebrew
that
G and K are real
kind of similar. Yeah, I guess you could do that. You know, I mean, that's possible. I mean, that has happened. There has been, you know, in scripture, there are places where somebody said this, but I thought you said that and wrote it down wrong or something. You know, obviously that could happen.
Yeah, so or you're looking
gopher,
at
a... You could have said gopher or...
You know, you're looking at a 3,000-year-old scroll that was stored in a jar in a mountain, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It could be a smudge and not a...
Yeah, I'm going with the K on this one. Yeah. Yeah, it sure could have been. Yeah, sure could be. Because, I mean, I don't know what the heck a gopher wood is.
Yeah, I don't either. Of course, I don't know what gopher wood is, but I understand that gopher wood is an ancient tree that used to exist pre-flood.
There you go, man. Well, then there you go. That's so that sort of fits the story. That
ties it together.
Kind of ties it together there.
But yeah, you know, and for those of you that are curious about the Ark, you can actually go to Google Maps.
Oh, yeah.
And see a picture of it. It'll take you right to the top of it. You can get online and you can look up the the coordinates and type that into Google Maps, and boom, I did it. I've seen it.
You've seen it.
Zoomed in on it.
You zoomed in on it. That's cool. That's really, really cool. Well, thanks for, hope you guys enjoyed talking about Noah's Ark.
Yeah, I had a great time. I hope everybody else did.
Yeah.
If anybody has an interesting topic they would like to have us discuss, let us know.
Let us know. We'd be happy to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. We want to thank you for listening. I'm Billy Davison.
And I'm Brian Sturz. Thanks for listening. And we look forward to, talking to you guys soon.
Absolutely. Tune in next time and be sure and share these podcasts with your friends.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Billy Davison.
And I'm Brian Sturz.
And this is our podcast.
This is our podcast.
Let's do that.
This is our podcast. All right, good.